Corinthians 11. We're just going to read three verses, verses 23 to 25. Says, being verse 23, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and truth that you seek to teach us out of it, Lord. We just thank you for the guidance that it brings to our lives. We just pray this morning you would once again speak to us through your word. Guide us into all truth, and may that we allow that truth to have power in our lives to transform us each day into your image. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And this coming Wednesday, we as a nation observe Remembrance Day, a day in which we honor those who served and those that sacrificed so that we could live in a country of freedom and justice and peace. The time of remembrance, we recognize, is valuable to us. It leads us to be thankful for what we have and for those who fought and died to provide it for us. Ultimately, of course, it leads us to be thankful to God for raising up those individuals to fight on our behalf, for working out the events of history to enable them to achieve victory and bring deliverance to the oppressed. And through this whole time of the year, there are three words that are so often repeated, lest we forget. And it gives us a sense that there are serious consequences to us if we fail to remember what is important. And as we contemplate all of it at this time of year and recognize how important these things are, we would say, well, how could we possibly forget these things? But yet we realize that forgetfulness is a common problem for all of us as humans, which is why we need a Remembrance Day. Forgetfulness, indeed, has been a common problem for humanity throughout history, especially in terms of forgetting what is important. You think about it, our minds have a tremendous capacity to store information. But so often, what do we find? That a lot of the information, it seems, that our minds store up, it's not always really that important and that useful, is it? Sometimes, especially growing up as a boy, that you can remember every sports statistic on the sport of your choice, that it's just like you can rattle those off so quickly. Or sometimes I know with myself is I seem to have a knack for remembering a lot of trivia and totally useless facts, that things I could bring up in a conversation, well, you know about this, but why that stuck in my mind and so many other things don't, you wonder. And sometimes you can have a person that they can remember what someone else wore or what they ate at an event that happened years ago. And all these things we can remember, but when it comes to other things that are important, things like remembering what someone's birthday is or the day of your anniversary or having an appointment or a commitment, so often what happens? We struggle to remember. We get busy, we get distracted. Even though we have the best intentions, we forget. We tie a string to our finger to help us remember, then we forget what we tied a string around our finger for. That it just, we have that problem. And a lot of things that are important to us, it seems to pass from our mind so quickly. And when we recognize, even kind of as we talked about last week, of sort of the spiritual battle that rages around us, we realize in a lot of ways that the devil wants to do that in our life. He wants to distract us. He wants to, as it speaks of in the parable of the sower, the seed and the soils, of how sometimes the word comes into our minds, but then it's snatched away right away, that it doesn't bring any fruit at all. That's not what we want to have happen, but it's what happens so often through history. And that's one of the things they say, that those that do not learn from history or forget history are doomed to repeat it. And that always seems to happen again and again. But we can see this testimony of forgetfulness as being an aspect of human nature throughout all of the scriptures. We think of the chief butler back in the Genesis account of when Joseph was taken to Egypt, and then he was falsely accused, thrown in prison. He ministered to the prisoners there, and the butler and the baker had a dream, and he interpreted the dream, told him he was going to be restored his position, and having done so, he asked the butler, "Well, could you please do a favor for me? Could you just speak on my behalf to Pharaoh, because I've been put here unjustly?" And so you'd think that things happened just as Joseph promised, and it's just such an amazing thing that came true, and it, you'd think it would be so simple for him just to say, "Oh, well, this person did this for me, and I said I would say a word for him, so I'm going to do that." But what do we read in Genesis chapter 40? Genesis 40, verse 23, it says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." They just totally slipped his mind. And of course, we realize that part of this is God even using this man's forgetfulness, because he did remember, and he remembered at just the right time to work everything out for good. But we realize the tendency of people to forget. We see this same testimony in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It doesn't talk about any specific person, but this is what Solomon observed. Beginning in verse 14 of that passage, says, "There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man." That this one man by his wisdom found a way for the city to be delivered from this besiegement of this other king. But yet, as people just completely forgot what that person did and all that they accomplished for them. And that's a sad thing. And we recognize that we have, as humans, we have a problem with remembering to be grateful. That you think even as for you children, that how many times does your mom and dad have to remember or to remind you when someone gives you something to say thank you? Right? That's something that we struggle with. And it's for us that are adults too, that it was the same with us, that our parents had to do the same thing and remind us to say thank you after we receive something. And kind of our parents, eventually you get it drilled into you that by the time you're an adult, you just automatically know to say thank you. But the fact is that sometimes, even though we can say the words, that problem remains of really showing gratitude to people. And that's the thing is that some people can be ministered unto, can have others give of themselves resources to help them, and then completely fail to show any real appreciation of that. And that's true concerning men, but it's also much more true concerning God. If you think of the children of Israel in the wilderness, what do we find them doing? That they're pretty well always murmuring and complaining. And so what happens all the time? They forget all of that God had done for them and all that he had provided to them through the whole wilderness experience. And we see, again, that there's some things that they remembered, but there's other things you just wonder how in the world they could forget it. We see in Numbers 11, verse 5, where they were complaining that they wanted flesh to eat. They're murmuring against God. What do they say? "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." They could remember the food, but somehow they forgot that during that whole time they were slaves, that they were being abused and mistreated, that if they had male children, that a lot of them were put to death. And that God had delivered them out of all of that. That how could they forget that? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. But we see that, a forgetfulness and a lack of gratefulness to God for all that he had already given them. That they were complaining about the manna, that they've been fed with this miraculous bread from heaven, and they say, we're tired of it. We want something different. And they just, you'd think they should have found a few more recipes that they could have done something more with or something instead of complaining. But we see that with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And then, of course, as Moses prepared the younger generation to enter into the promised land, he was trying to help them to not continue in the same way as their parents had. And so we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he gives them a very clear warning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and beginning in verse 11, he says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, not keeping his commandments and his judgments and statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath got me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And if it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." And so we see that it is given very clearly to them, do not forget. There's going to be serious consequences if you do forget, that you need to remember the Lord your God. But when we study the history of the children of Israel throughout the remainder of the Old Testament, what testimony do we see given of them? We see that they were a forgetful people. Psalm chapter 78, verses 10 and 11 says, "They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them." All these marvelous things that he had done for them in Egypt and through the wilderness, they just forgot and sinned against the Lord. We see Jeremiah states in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, it says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire?" And we would just imagine that it doesn't make sense that a bride, when it's time for the wedding day, she's not going to forget the dress at home and have to run back to get it. That's kind of been the main thing that she's been planning for and dreaming about since she was a child. She's not going to forget that. And so for the children of Israel to forget God wouldn't make any sense either. But what does God say? It says, "Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." That again and again, they've just forgotten the Lord and haven't remembered to walk in his ways. And as well, we see in Hosea chapter 13, and these are really just kind of a sample, but there's many other verses that speak of this, but these ones talk about. It says, "According..." It talks about, "I am the Lord that brought thee from the land of Egypt," verse 4 of Hosea 13. "Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. It says, "According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me." That they had an abundance, that God blessed them with so many different things, and instead of continuing to be thankful for the abundance and serving the Lord all the more because of that, they got full and then they forgot the Lord. And we see that happen again and again through history. That, and of course, as we study the scriptures, the nation of Israel's forgetfulness, we find, had serious consequences. What did it do? Because they forgot the Lord, it led them from their rightful gratitude towards God, their rightful devotion towards God, it led them from that into idolatry and into sin. And as judgment for that, they faced invasion, they faced oppression in the days of the judges onward. And through the time of the kings, they eventually faced destruction and captivity as a judgment for their sin. And we realize, of course, that isn't something where it was just amongst the Jewish people. Well, they had a problem with forgetfulness, but oh, we Gentiles, we know how to remember stuff. That's the fact is, it's a universal problem. And it, just as they struggled with it, everybody struggles with it. And the results are the same. The judgment that it brings is the same as well. And we see the words spoken in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17. The testimony says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That nations can serve the Lord and follow scriptural principles and their laws, but if it comes to a point where as nations we forget the Lord, there's going to be serious consequences. Our own destruction is sure if we do not turn back from that. And so we realize forgetfulness is a universal human tendency. And as we recognize that, we recognize as well that is then just one more example of the way of this world that we as believers are not to be conformed unto. That it's something, this is what the world does. We need to be different. We need to renew our thinking. We need to learn as God's people to remember. We need the Lord to transform us through the renewing of our minds so that we can be conformed to His image. Because as we read through the scriptures, is God forgetful? That we realize, no, that He is not forgetful at all. That we read in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16, he says, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And just the thought of that, that a mother would forget her baby or not express interest, that seems totally unreasonable. But yet, of course, even in our society today, we realize sometimes, sadly, that does happen. And he says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That we recognize from the scriptures that God does not and will never forget His people. He will never forget His promises to them. That's not the God He is. That He is a God that remembers us. That even when we're in trouble, you think different passages in the scripture where they had the great flood and everything happened, but as it gets towards the end of it, it says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing. They just sort of went through all this business of judgment, and then it's like, oh yeah, I was supposed to kind of look after this to make sure that the world continued on. No, he remembered. He didn't forget. And that's the same thing that we realize. Even though things can look dark, even things can look difficult, He hasn't forgotten us. He remembers us. And so we want to learn to be like Him in that way, and in so many other ways, to learn to remember. And we recognize that forgetfulness leads us into such dangerous places. It leads us away from our devotion to God, away from the work that He has called us to do for Him. And we realize God instead wants us to be in remembrance, and in remembrance specifically of what's important, of what He's called us to, of these different things. And to have really that practice of remembrance, to have that guide us through life, to guide us to gratitude, to guide us to devotion to God, and to guide us to a life of service, of sacrifice, and of blessing. And so thus do we realize throughout the scriptures that God calls us as believers to remembrance. And in the passage that we began with this morning, we recognize that the entire focus of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the reason why we do it, and we're to continue to do it until He comes, is we're to do it in remembrance of Him. In remembrance of Him, that we think back of who Jesus is, we think back of all that He accomplished for us, the suffering that He endured in order to bring us salvation. For all that He has done for us, all that He is, that we would ask, well, how could we possibly forget our Lord Jesus? How could our love and our fervor for him diminish? But the fact is, we get busy. We get distracted by the cares of this world. And he does not remain the central focus of our life that he should be. And that's why God in his wisdom instituted the Lord's Supper for us as New Testament believers, to help us to remember, to have a time where we were brought back into a proper focus, that we regain the proper perspective in life, that we realize that Christ is the center of our life, that all that we are, all that we can ever be is because of his sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. And as we regain that focus and that perspective, it helps guide us in how we live in this present world. It isn't for ourselves, it isn't for the now, that we live for the one who died for us and rose again. And so, as Christians, we are to remember our Lord. And in remembering him as well, we realize there's different facets of that to consider also. That first of all, we realize that in remembering him, we need to remember the words of our Lord. And of course, we understand that of the scripture as a whole, that there's so much in God's word as a whole that we're to remember, that we're to commit to memory, that we're to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. But we think as well that there's many words that Christ taught while on this earth, that those in particular that we realize that he has given to guide us and to help us. For his disciples, we think of it, that Jesus had told them all that was to come concerning his suffering and his death and his resurrection, that he was preparing them for that those difficult days that they're going to go through as he faced all this. But what do we find? That it didn't seem that they were paying attention. Maybe they didn't understand. But then, or maybe they just plain forgot. But what do we find on the day of his resurrection, according to Luke chapter 24, that the angel proclaimed to them Christ's resurrection, and it's always, it kind of seems with angels, they don't necessarily always seem that patient with us humans. They kind of wonder why we don't get it. And of course, because they're in the presence of God, things are a lot plainer. But he says to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And so he said, he told you all about this. Why are you here looking for him? Going to anoint his body with these spices. He's alive. And it says, and they remembered his words. They're saying, oh yeah, he did say something about that. And it's the thing that as with followers of Christ then, just as with us as followers of Christ now, we need to remember his words. With all the things that he talks about in the Gospel accounts, and of course in Scriptures as a whole, we realize that it's important that we listen to it. That these are words of life that are to guide us. He gives it to us for a reason. And sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, and then what happens, we start reading a verse and it's like, boy, if I would have remembered the wisdom of that verse, that would have saved me a lot of trouble later on. But we think of some examples of that. Paul declared in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And that's something that I think we all need to be reminded of. That in a world that's really governed by selfishness, where we can get into that thinking where I want to get as much for myself, and I'm always looking out for number one. When we remember God's words where it's more blessed to give than to receive, and then we actually start doing that, let me try to give to other people instead of just trying to get from them. And finding out how much more of a blessing it is to give of ourselves to other people, it can greatly affect us. But we need to be reminded of that principle over and over again. And we think as well with the Lord Jesus, that prior to his crucifixion, he gave warning to his disciples that they were going to face persecution. And he laid it out to them. He wasn't trying to scare them. He was trying to prepare them. He told them that they're going to be put out of the synagogues. They're going to kill you thinking that they're doing God's service. And they're doing all these things because they weren't following God. They weren't accepting Christ. So they weren't going to accept his followers either. But we see in verse 4 as he concludes that discussion, he says, John 16 verse 4 says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." And that's the thought, that it wouldn't be something that they'd be taken off guard, that they'd realize that this is what happens, this is why, and that he's going to be with us through it all as well. And so, for us as believers, we need to value God's word. We need to read it often. We need to commit it to memory, so that these words can be a guidance and a help to us through the challenges that we face, that there can be times where we're in trouble, in difficulty, in times of discouragement, that God can bring to our minds a verse that we've locked in our memories that can be a real help and an encouragement to us. And so we want to do that. As well, not only are we to remember the words of our Lord, we're also to remember the works of the Lord. And we see recorded in Psalm 78, verses 5 to 8, this basic principle of as families, of how we're to teach the truths of God to the next generation. It says, "For he established a testimony, and Jacob appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, in the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." That we realize that was the problem with Israel, was that the previous generation, that they so frequently and so quickly forgot the works of the Lord. And it was a mistake that each generation was to be instructed not to repeat, to learn from the mistakes of past generations. Don't forget the Lord. It never went well when they as a people did that. So they needed to learn not to do that. It's the same for us today, that we need to remember the Lord and keep his commandments. And so we think of it, that how God has done so many great and mighty works in bringing deliverance and bringing provision to his people. We think of all that's recorded in Scripture of just the Israelites and their deliverance from Egypt, their time through the wilderness, his blessing to them as they entered in the land, and different times where their enemies against them, God provided deliverance. That God has done many great and mighty works. We think as well of all that's recorded through history, of how God has worked on behalf of his people, of how there's been times where evil seems to be at the forefront, seems like it's going to win, but then forces come into play by the hand of God that bring that evil down and right is established. That we think as well, even in our own personal history, in our own lives, that we look back, that all that God has done for us through our lives of guiding us, sometimes protecting us from harm where we were going to make a decision that would have been really bad, but then he helped us to make the right decision. We think of the prayers that he's answered for us, the needs that he's provided, the strength he's given us. And of course, as we bring these things to remembrance, the most important of all, of course, is a great work of salvation that he wrought in our lives, that he brought us unto himself, that he brought us to the point that we would repent of our sins and trust in him as Savior, and we're now adopted and part of his family, and just all that he's done for us, that remembrance should guide us to gratefulness. It should guide us to confidence in God. It should guide us really into an excitement of the future great things that he might do in our lives. That sometimes, sadly, that that we have such a short-term memory, where God has done such a great volume of things for us, but then we just have this attitude, well, what has God done for me lately? And it's, the fact is, to have that attitude is totally wrong. And instead it should be, well, he's done such great things in the past in the lives of his people, in my life personally. How much greater things might he still be able to do in my life? And to have that encouragement of seeing God work and what he can do. But finally, as well, as believers, not only are we to remember the words of the Lord and the works of the Lord, but we as well are to remember the great work of the Lord, which he has called us all to. That when God saved us, we recognize that he also placed a calling upon our lives, a purpose for us to fulfill, that we are commissioned by God as his people and as his churches to spread the gospel, to train disciples, and we're to reach out in our community, and we're to spread the gospel and be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. And, of course, the devil seems to be able to distract us so easily and get us to pursue and promote various goals and causes other than the mission that God has given us. And it's so that he can have free reign in continuing to deceive and destroy people's lives. And so it's a thing that we need to be constantly reminded, as we talked about last week, of that spiritual battle that we're called upon to be a part of, that we're to engage in that battle daily, so that sinners might be saved, so that believers might be strengthened. And it involves us drawing nigh to God, allowing him to do his work of sanctification, his work of transformation in our lives, so that we can become people of truly of holy character, that, as it talks about in 2 Timothy, that we're meant for the master's use, we're prepared unto every good work, that we need to devote ourselves to that. That we think in 2 Peter chapter 1, how he says that we're to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and all these different things. And it was his focus in that chapter. He said, as long as I'm on this earth, I want you to bring you into remembrance to do these things, because it's important. If you do these things, you're not going to be barren or unfruitful. That you're going to have a life that is blessed, a life that is greatly used of God. And that's the thought, that as we do these things and as we seek the Lord and seek to develop character by our time with him, then as well we need to remind ourselves to be fully involved in that work of God each day, in whatever opportunity or avenue that he gives us. There's much that we can think of the scriptures say concerning this, there's a lot in 1 and 2 Timothy especially. I encourage you to study out for yourself. But in the time remaining, I just want to share with you just a few verses. And this is from Hebrews chapter 13. I was reading this, and it's interesting in this passage of how there's different things here where it talks about us as believers that we're to remember. Hebrews 13. In verse 2 it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That it's the thought that we are to remind ourselves to seek out and to be willing to minister to people that we don't know, and to be a help to them. And that sometimes you're uneasy, sometimes it's definitely, we would think, well, that kind of is not something I necessarily want to do, it's not convenient. But he's trying to say there that if we don't, we might miss out on some tremendous blessings if we fail to do so. So we're not to be forgetful to do that. Then verse 3 it says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." That we need to remember those around the world who are in prison for the cause of Christ, who are suffering because they have had a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to be praying for them, that we need to be really recognizing that we should be standing in solidarity with them, that it's not something where they have to face that alone, that they need, that it's something that even if possible, that we could let them know that we're there supporting them and want to encourage them. Verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Remember those in the Lord's churches where God has placed over to be a guide and a help to us. But then in verse 16, that passage says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. That there you read in other passages, that it talks about that we are to be a peculiar people that are zealous unto good works. And so it's the idea that we should desire to do that. We should not forget to do good when we have the opportunity to help someone. That we don't forget, we don't continue on just with what we were doing before, but it says, God's given me this opportunity to do something good. I need to not forget. I need to do that. And it talks about to communicate. It's the idea of giving of what we have to help others. That we're not to forget that either. When we have resources and there's someone in need, that's the thing. The Lord wants us to be a channel of His blessing to other people. And if we learn to actually do that, it can be a tremendous blessing. But a lot of times what happens is we forget and we kind of hold on to things too tightly and we miss out on those blessings. And so it's learning that, remembering that. That again, it's something that human nature is not, it's not what our tendency is, and it's part of being transformed to His image, is where we have that mindset where we're looking to try to do good, we're looking to try to help people, to say, what has God given me and how can I use it to be a blessing to someone else? And so with all of this, we realize of how we as Christians are called to remembrance. And as we learn to remember, that remembrance guides us and helps us through life. That forgetfulness is a plague upon our world as a whole, and sadly, amongst us as believers as well. It leads us to wrong thinking. It leads us to wrong living. And often it necessitates God's chastening hand upon us to get us back to where we should be. And so in this and in so many other areas of life, let us renew our minds. Let us instead be faithful to remember. Let us encourage each other in reminding each other and helping each other to have the right focus, to keep our minds on the right things. We want to remember the Lord. We want to remember His words, His mighty works, and as well the glorious work that He's called us to. And as we do that, may we all be guided by remembrance to a place of usefulness, fruitfulness, and blessing. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for all that You teach us, Lord. And Lord, we pray Your forgiveness for us for our forgetfulness. Help us that we might remember just all that You have done for us and all that You want to do through us, Lord, by Your power and grace. And just guide us in the week to come, Lord, and just help us that we would remember You and be guided by that remembrance. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.